Now, Amy, you're doing something that I think is absolutely fantastic, and more people should do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Explain to us what you're going to do. You're going to go to a school.
Yep. In this September coming up, I'm entering into a secondary school just to share about my life experience and how I can hopefully go on to help warn other girls and boys about the risks that are out there, but also if they do encounter these situations, how they can overcome them.
So just fill us in on the situation that you're actually talking about.
So the situation I'm talking about was my own experience of being involved in a domestic violence relationship at a very young age of 15, which is when it started. And there was also an element of grooming involved because the person was a lot older than me. So this relationship lasted for roughly 6 years between the age of 15, 16 until I was 22 when I left. And I just really go in and I'm really upfront and honest about how this not only impacted my life but impacted my family's life and those around me, and it really devastated so many of us for such a long period of time. But of course I've now left this relationship and I've gone on to go to university and gain a degree, and things are going really well.
So when you look back now, because I know we've just had a discussion, I know through bullying it never happens. It's wedge shape. It never happens at full pelt to start with. It's always a little steps are worse than the last step.
Yeah.
When you look back now, do you actually scratch your head and go, why did I put up with this for so long?
I do. Looking back, I see a completely different girl. It's literally like looking at two different people. Mm. But at the same time, I can also understand how it happened, because like you said, it happened very slowly.
Yeah.
I was targeted as a young, vulnerable girl who was overwhelmed by this attention I was receiving, the gifts, the shopping trips, the compliments, which then very slowly turned into name calling and threats of violence and control. And like you said, it happens over a period of time, but it does also happen very subtly, that no one walks into a relationship being called a name. You walk into a relationship being told nice things,
and then it
changes over time. So yeah, it is similar to bullying and it happens over time. But I think as long as we're more aware of the warning signs and the red flags, then hopefully it can prevent these things from happening more and more.
So do you find yourself being, because there's an old psychological proverb where the bullied can become the bully quite easily.
Mm.
So do you find yourself jumping quicker and stopping a problem before it starts?
That's interesting you said that, actually, because I think as I've been working on myself these last couple of years since this relationship ended, I definitely left with a lot of anger.
Yes.
I was angry at why it happened.
Anybody can understand that. Yeah, totally.
I was angry at men in general.
Yeah.
And I was angry at, just the injustice in the world.
Hmm.
You're right. I did become, I wouldn't say I'd become like the perpetrator, but there was elements of the anger and the language that was used towards me that perhaps I could use towards other people through my hurt. But, with therapy and being open and honest about people around me, I think that has slowly kind of been filtered out of my system. It's important to recognise that, if you've got friends or family members who are taking on these characteristics, it's not them, it's something that's happened to them.
Yes. Notoriously, people who go through any form of bullying or abuse, male or female, because it happens to both sides, they notoriously, the nicer people, point the finger inwards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find yourself doing that? What did I do for you to do this to me?
Yeah, I definitely thought I deserved it. I think that was ingrained into me, that I deserved what was happening. And I think the more I believed it, the longer it lasted. So it was only really when I started to question and I surrounded myself around people who loved on me more and more. My family were amazing, but actually took people outside of my family to start to say, come on, Amy, like this is not right for me to start to listen. And I actually ended up attending a really great church here in Brentwood called Sawyers, and it was the people at Sawyers who loved on me, which made me start to question what was happening, which is interesting because my family, who loved me for 22 years, I never listened to them. It actually took strangers for me, for my ears to start to prick up a bit and be like, okay.
Now, this whole subject is normally around it's normally around a control. Mm. And notoriously, the person it's happening to, as I just say, points the finger inwards, when in actual fact, the problem is in the other person's mind. This is like bullying right across the board, from school up to work. I've been bullied in workplaces before now. Mm. It's always them. And it takes to come out of this situation to look back and go, no, actually, you're the one that's messed up.
Mm. Do you know what, Mikey? I actually think it's a society problem. I don't think bullying and abuse goes down to an individual level. I actually think it's a society problem. And I think the way this issue can be combated is by looking to society and say, right, what can we do to change our opinions on this? And I think we need to start by looking at the younger generation and building up children who are resilient. Mm. And the only way how we can build up resilient children is by being resilient adults.
Yes.
And standing up to these issues and being like, firstly, we're going to talk about it. We're not going to attach stigma of shame and embarrassment to it.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about it as adults, the more our children will be like, okay, you know, this is something that's out there. So I think that's one of the main ways how we can combat this problem.
I think you're doing a fantastic thing. I really, really do. Because the more people talk about this, the more it will become in the limelight as such, and people will see it for what it is. And perhaps people on the outside, as you say, it took strangers to talk to you before you started questioning it.
Yeah.
Perhaps strangers on the outside, if they're listening right now, can watch and say, "That's I saw that. That isn't right."
Exactly.
So I think this is just a fantastic thing you're doing. I really, really do.
Thank you.
So you've done one talk already, is that right?
Yes, I went into Beckett Keys School last year and spoke to a year group of year 11s. And that went down really well. I think what was more amazing is after the talk, it was actually the residue that was left that was being spoken about and discussed. And, you know, the kids were shocked by what happened to me.
Yeah.
But they were actually talking about it more and more, and hopefully more aware to spot what was going on, not necessarily in themselves, but in their friends and their peers around them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, from there, I've had a few more talks at local churches in Essex, and then I'm going on to a school in this September.
Well, it is becoming more in the limelight, because when I was at school, being bullied was just an accepted thing.
Yeah.
You just get on with it. That's what you were told. Now, it's not being accepted anymore, and people are stepping forward and saying, more the people, the more their friends. No, this isn't right. Leave him alone. Mm. And I think that's fantastic. So you've got one more talk coming up, did you say?
Yeah, in September.
In September, okay. Where can people see you and come to listen to you?
Well, at the moment, the school is going to be kind of a private talk because it is obviously within the school environment.
Yes.
But what I would really encourage people to do is to share this podcast with people that they know.
Yeah.
And, you know, share the message, talk about it yourselves. I think mental health is a massive element in this too.
Yes.
To make it a topic of conversation, and then the less it becomes a topic of conversation and becomes more of a culture in our society is when I think big changes will start to happen.
Well, it's I mean, back to the 1920s, you go back that far.
I wasn't born then.
If you go back to the 1920s, it was almost the norm for it to happen.
Yeah, I've been told that it was all swept under the carpet.
It was just, you're married now, what do you expect?
Yeah.
So it isn't right.
No.
It isn't right.
No.
So we've come a long way, obviously, in years, and we've come a long way in not accepting it. And I think we've got a lot further to go, to be honest with you, before people step forward and help.
I agree. And I think you're right about, you know, looking at the time frames. When you go back, you know, even 10 years ago, my nan and granddad's generation, this stuff was normal. It wasn't spoken about.
That's right.
Mental health was not spoken about. But if we, you know, my parents speak about it and they pass it down to me, and then when I speak about it, I pass it down to my son. My son's generation is going to grow up to be the next doctors and the politicians and the MPs and the teachers. And if we ingrain that mentality into our children's mentality, then they're the ones who are going to be in the position to make changes.
Mamie, I think you're doing a fantastic thing. Very, very brave lady, seriously.
Thank you.
Anytime you want to come back and talk to us again about this, you're more than pleased to do so, more than welcome to do so. And if you're doing any other gigs in the area, come in and tell us so people can come and see you.
I will do.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you, Mikey.